Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Shall we read the word of the Lord together, starting with John chapter 12, and then we'll go to John 19, and then finish off with Matthew 26. Let's go. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." John 19, 14. It was the day of preparation of the Passover, and it was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. And finally, Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." It's part three today of our series, The Focus of Christ's Final Moments. We've been looking at the events leading up to the cross, to the resurrection, and what we can learn from them. Before I get into what we're talking about today, let me take a moment and just say, in just a week, we are celebrating Easter. This is the single most important event in the history of humanity. We commemorate the fact that Jesus came. He went on the cross for us, that he was crucified for our sins, that he died to bring our salvation, that he was buried, and that on the third day, he rose again with victory over death, hell, and the grave. When we come on Sunday, we are not just coming to sing songs, we are coming together to declare that he's done it all. So invite everybody. Come tell them, "Hey, let's go celebrate the Lord who's done it all for us." Amen. So as we look at the final weekend, here's a question we've been asking. If you had only a few days to live, what would you prioritize? What would you focus on? What would you do? What would you say? What did Jesus focus on in these final days of his life on earth? Miss McKenna started us off by looking at the donkey that was summoned by the master, if you remember. And the master said, "I have need of him. I have need of the donkey. The master has need of us." And she challenged us to examine our lives and think about what is holding us and tying us to the post that would prevent us from responding to the summons. Last week, the mighty man of God, Pastor N.J. Gishohi, he shared on the serving, reminding us that if we are to serve as Jesus did, there has to be a shift in our priorities, a shift in what we consider important, a shift in our position, a shift in the lofty place that sometimes we sit at so that we can't serve, a shift in our perspective so we can see people like Jesus sees them. And today, we are looking at the struggle. The final weeks of Christ's life on earth were filled with great sorrows and great struggles. It wasn't an easy time. It was a tense time. There was victory on the other end, but the process was taxing. It was a time of confrontation. It was a time of conflict. It was a time of great cost. Our salvation did not come easy. If you're ever somewhere in the darkness, being foolish, just remind yourself, "I'm being foolish, but this salvation did not come easy." It didn't come easy. It cost our Lord his very life. And in many ways, our lives as believers can seem like a constant struggle. For some of us, it's a struggle of vision. Our expectation and faith is challenged. I don't know if it's going to happen the way God said it's going to happen. Some of us are struggling to stay connected, to keep following Jesus. Yes, we made the commitment, but now we are not so sure. Some of us are struggling with the enemy of our souls. The devil is at you. He's coming after you. You're fighting temptations and the realities around you. Some of us are even buckling under the weight of following God's will for our lives. Here's the wonderful news before we talk about the struggle.
our Redeemer has already won the battle for us. Our Redeemer has already won the battle for us. In fact, Jesus warned his disciples that these days were coming. And he told them in John 16, 33, I have told you all these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world, you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. It is guaranteed. But be courageous. Be confident. Be undaunted. Be filled with joy because I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished and my victory is abiding. That was the promise of Christ. So even in the times of struggle, our victory is assured. Our victory is accomplished. And yet for us to make it through each struggle whole, we must be willing to pay the cost. We must be willing to stay the course. You see, when Jesus was going to the cross, he wasn't wondering how it's going to end. He knew how it was going to end. But he still struggled. He still struggled with the moment. And so we must be willing to stay the course, to be transformed, to do whatever it takes. There is purpose to our struggle. There is purpose to the trials that beset us. That if we are willing to pay the cost, if we are willing to push through, that purpose will become clear. And so today, I want us to look at some of the struggles surrounding the final moments of Christ's life and learn how we can better navigate the times of trouble. We've already set it aside that we know our victory is assured. We are going towards the sure end. So all we are trying to figure out is what do we do between now and then, between now and the victory. So we'll look at three groups of people. And first, I want to start with the crowd. The crowd. As Pastor Kevin told us earlier, today is Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday that we commemorate Jesus entering Jerusalem. A big feature of his entry was the crowds, as we read in our scripture in John 12, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And yet, a short while later, this is maybe 6-7 days, after this moment of, oh my goodness, the king has come. People are going to their houses, removing lassos, saying, hey, the donkey can't even go on the ground. Palm branches everywhere. It's like our king has come. Just a few days later, things have turned around. Now they're the ones saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate even gives their words back to them. I thought you said this guy is your king. You want me to crucify him? They said, no, we don't know him. We don't know this guy. Crucify him. Away with him. How quickly the crowd moved from praising him to crucify him. This is just as an aside for you who are, you know, celebrities in this world. If you live by the adoration of the crowd, you will die by their criticism. You will die by their rejection. Take praise lightly, you know. But how quickly passions changed. How quickly minds were shifted. But what was the crowd's problem? You see, suffering under Roman oppression, many of them expected that this Jesus who was coming to be an earthly king to deliver them from the authority of Rome. They celebrated him for what they thought he was coming to do. And when things turned around and it wasn't how they expected it, they were like, we don't know this guy. He's not our king anymore. Their own version of how they expected him to work. That's what they were celebrating. And this brings us to our first point. You have to see things God's way, not your way. You have to see things God's way, not your way. Church, as long as we hold on to our ideas of how God should work, how he should answer our prayers, how we think he should function, there will always be a struggle. You will always be in a place of tension because you're like, God is not doing this the way I wanted him to do it. God is not giving me the answer I wanted him to give me. And if we stay in this state, we risk missing everything that God is doing. You know what's so sad? Many in the crowd missed it completely. Now think about how sad this is. They were waiting for the Messiah all their lives. From the moment they were born, their fathers in their homes would tell them stories of how one day a Messiah is coming. He's coming to deliver us. Their grandfathers told them the same story. A Messiah is coming. Their grandfathers told them the same story. A Messiah is coming. And yet when he came, they missed him. In fact, the religious leaders began to see him as a threat to their ministry. The ministry, by the way, that had been set up for the sole purpose of waiting for the Messiah. That was the purpose of the whole ministry. The whole worship, all these things, they were to prepare for the Messiah to come. And they missed it because they were so stuck in their minds about how he should come and what he should do and how he should answer. So we have to be careful, as 2 Corinthians tells us, that we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Don't be stuck on the visible and the temporal. You'll miss it. You'll miss what God is doing. So seeing as God sees will require that you ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to what's not obvious. Ask the Holy Spirit, open my eyes. What am I not seeing? It will need you to say no to whatever worldview is prevalent around you. There were people in the crowd, I'm sure, who were so convinced this was the Messiah. But now when it became, he's not. They're like, okay, I guess maybe he's not. You have to say no to the voices of the crowd around you so that you can focus on what the Word of God says, no matter what it costs you. Because it's going to cost you sometimes to say, this is what I believe. But you have to stay with it. It will require us to follow the instructions that Paul gives in his letter to the Colossian church. This is Colossians 3. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, just caught up with what's going on, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Secondly, the disciples. In our opening scripture, Jesus takes his disciples on this intimate, personal, agonizing trip. Think about this. He'd been ministering to them for 3 years. He's about to have the greatest struggle of his human life. He's in Gethsemane. In his struggle, Jesus wasn't God. He was having a very human struggle. He was having a very, I know what the end of this is. But my goodness, this is tough. So he tells his disciples, guys, come with me. His only request to them is that they stay alert and keep him company. Doesn't even tell them to pray for him. It's like, just stay here. Watch for me. In verse 40 of Matthew 26, he returns to his disciples and he finds them asleep. He's so upset. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? 1 hour. Can you imagine? You've already told your friends you're about to die. Like, guys, I'm dying. This is the last night that I'm spending with you guys. It's been great. It's been real. Now I need to go pray. Please come with me. Just wait here. I'm going to pray over there. And then you come back and find them asleep. Then, what is that about? It hadn't even been an hour and they were already disconnected and left him. Now, it's even worse because just a few verses earlier, Peter, this is why he addressed Peter when he came back. Peter had led the disciples to declare. This is in verse 35. No, Peter insisted, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. So they just made all these declarations and yet they were unable to stay connected. What's making you struggle to stay connected to Jesus? He's there telling you, you can't wait for even for 1 hour. I was just about to give you an answer to the prayer you've been praying for the last 30 minutes and then you put on your socks and left. Couldn't you tarry for me, with me, for 1 hour? It must have been so discouraging to Jesus because just a little while earlier, during supper, he had released Judas. Okay? He had released one of his disciples. The devil had entered the man's heart and Jesus told him, go do what you have to do. He already knew this guy was coming to betray him. This was in the pipeline. And now the people that he thought were standing with him. Is it weariness that's taking you to slumber at this most important of times? What's making you disconnect from Jesus? What's making you disconnect from following him? Or has the enemy bought you like he did Judas? Is there a price that will buy your betrayal? That if the price is good enough, I am willing to compromise. If the money is good enough, I am willing to compromise. That's what happened to Judas. And here's the thing. You see, this enemy of ours, he's no respecter of persons. These disciples, including Judas, they were with Jesus every day. For 3 years, these were the highest echelons of our Christian life. So the people who shook Jesus' hand, they were there with him. And the enemy was not afraid to come after them. The enemy does not care about your proximity to Jesus. He's coming for you. So ask yourself, what would cause me to disconnect? What would cause me to betray my Lord? You can be sure he's coming after you. So Jesus' remedy to this problem is our second point. Keep watch and pray. That's what Jesus tells them. He tells them at the end of that verse, keep watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation. Awareness and prayer will keep us from getting into temptation. And it will give strength to our weak bodies to fulfill the willingness that we have in our spirits to follow Jesus. You have to stay watchful. You have to stay in prayer. Because the enemy is looking for you. Even after Jesus told Peter, keep watch and pray, now when they go to the high priest and Jesus is being judged, where did Peter go? To the courtyard by the fire. He'd already forgotten that whole thing about keeping watch and praying. And very quickly, his next temptation came for him. Because they asked him, hey, were you not one of the people? If he wasn't there, if he had been in a corner somewhere praying as he should have been doing, that opportunity wouldn't have been there for the enemy. So watch, watch, watch. So many times in his last days, Jesus told his disciples, watch, watch, watch. Watch therefore in Mark 13, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch. That word watch is a Greek word, Gregorio. Let's just say Greg for short. It's a Greek word, Greg. It means to give strict attention to. It means to be cautious. It means to be active, to take heed, lest through remission and indolence, some destructive calamity suddenly overtake one. I love the words in this definition. Remission is to just let things slide, to let them go. Story is told of this guy who's in his boat. It's a wonderful afternoon on the lake. The birds are singing, the sun is out, and he just takes a nap. He's enjoying his afternoon, and then he wakes up, and behold, it's 6 p.m., and he's in the middle of the lake with no way to get to shore. What happened? He was just being. He wasn't doing anything, and the undercurrents just moved him away from safety into the middle of the lake, and before he realized it, he was like, oh my goodness, I can't get out of here. Watch. Watch. Don't be lazy. Watch. Don't think things are great, so I don't need. The enemy does not rest. He's always after you. This definition also contains the word indolence. Indolence means slothfulness. It means given to laziness. Watch. Do not give yourself to laziness and to indolence and to slothfulness. These are not the times to lose watch or to slacken in prayer. Watch and pray. That's what Jesus told his disciples. If you do that, then you protect yourself from getting into temptation and losing track of what's going on. And finally, there's Jesus. Finish with the central figure of this story. In the garden, we see Jesus in all his humanity. He's open. He's vulnerable, even with his disciples. In Matthew 26:38, he tells them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Have you ever been overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death? I mean overwhelmed. Jesus is so weighed down and struggling with the reality of what was awaiting him. Now you have to understand, he didn't have to be. Because like we've said already, he knew. He knew the end. But I believe he let us glimpse this moment so that we would know that he understands. That when we find ourselves in struggle, overwhelmed to the point of death, he understands. He's been there. He's been there where he's pushing and wanting something to change. He's aware of our struggle. He's aware of how tough things can be. So he's experiencing the full human horror of knowing what was awaiting him. He's counting the cost. He's counting the cost and struggling through the implications of it. He's seeing the betrayal of Judas. He's seeing the weeping. He's seeing the jeering. He's seeing the cross. He's seeing the nails. He's feeling the pain. He knows it's going to happen. He's feeling the pain of the nails. And he cries out to his father and says, "My father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me." That was the human part of him struggling through. Can I do this? Will I do this? Shall I do this? And yet, he doesn't quit the struggle. Oh, come on. He doesn't quit the struggle. He wraps it up by declaring, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Not as I will, but as you will. That's our third point. Surrender to God's will. In the times of struggle, we must surrender to God's will. The way to victory in times of struggle is not to quit, but to surrender. When you're struggling, when things are tough, the way is not to quit, but to surrender. We must be willing to submit what we feel, what we think, and what we want to the God who knows all. That in this place where I'm struggling with my mind, where I'm struggling with my faith, where I'm struggling with my decision, where I'm struggling with the cost, what this is going to cost me if I do what God wants, I must be willing to surrender. The struggling must lead us to a place of declaring, "Not as I will, but as you will." There's a weight. There's a cost to following Jesus. It cost him his life. In fact, this is what Paul is referring to when he's talking later in scripture. I forgot where, I think to the Corinthians. And he's telling them, "You have not yet struggled to the point of death." This is what he's referring to. It's like our Christ, who's our example, it cost him his very life. So for us, it might cost us our life. But we are to surrender to his will. Because here's the reality. You cannot stay in control. You can't claim a savior without also accepting the Lord. This is the reality. Many of us, we want a Jesus who just saves us and then gets out of our business. We just want a savior. We don't want a Lord who's telling us every day, "Walk this way, do this way, don't go there, come here." But those two things come together. We want to accept Jesus, but still maintain a modicum of control of our lives. That doesn't work. If we say he's our Savior, then he must also be our Lord. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16, "If any of you wants to be my follower," is there anybody here who wants to be a follower of Jesus? "You must give up your own way." Tell yourself, "I must give up my own way." That's a primary requirement. You must take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. We must give up our own way. We must deny ourselves and follow him. This is what Jesus was showing us in the garden. The way he surrendered to his father. The way he surrendered his will to his father. The way he surrendered his emotions to his father. The way he surrendered the knowledge he had to his father. That's how we are to do it. And until you do that, the struggle will become a mountain that you just go around. Because here's the reality. Jesus could not move forward to the cross without surrender. It is in the surrender that God's purpose was accomplished. Until he surrendered, until he was like, not my will, there was no way for him to continue. There was no way for the story to continue past this moment. It was surrender that opened the door and set things in motion. Say, okay, now it's time. In fact, when he wakes up from prayer, he goes and gets his disciples and tells them, let's go. It's time. He was resolute. He was ready. Because he had done his surrender. That thing that you're holding on to so tight, it is stunting your growth. It is preventing your movement. You need to surrender it. That thing that your God is telling you, hey, leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it. Let God have his way. Give him control. That's where victory lies. When we surrender our will, we gain the confidence to move forward beyond the struggle into what God wants for us. So surrender. Let God have his way. And I really felt like there's so many of us. There's so many things, man. God has told you, see, let me handle this situation. You're so adamant. You want to handle it yourself. You're so adamant. You want to keep it to yourself. God is like, I want to help you. It is in surrender that you'll have victory over this situation. So let it go and let God have his way. Amen. So in the time of struggle, remember those three things. Number one, see things God's way, not your way. Secondly, keep watch and pray. And then finally, surrender to God's will. Let us pray. I want to pray for us today. As I pray for myself, that if anything here has made sense to you, that you're struggling, you're fighting disconnection, you found yourself just disconnecting from this Christ that you're supposed to be following, or you've given room to the enemy and now you're in that struggle, or you've just found yourself holding on too tight to some things and you need to surrender, could we raise our hands and just come before God together? Say, Father, oh, we need you. Lord, we need you. Jesus, we are so encouraged that you are so aware of our infirmities, that you're so aware of our struggles. And there is nothing that we are going through, nothing that we are fighting through that's foreign to you, that you didn't already go through, that you didn't already show us that we can make it through. And so I pray for myself, I pray for all of us today, that God, if we found ourselves just so caught up in our own way, that we are missing what you're doing, the Lord, you'd open our eyes by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to see what you see. Help us to see what's going on around you. Help us to see what you're up to. Lord, like Elisha's servant, we pray that you'd open our eyes so that we can see the armies that are around us. God, help us to see things your way. Oh, Holy Spirit, take away every preconception that we have about the situations that are around us and about how we think you should work and how we think you should answer. And help us to see you, oh God. I pray for those of us, Lord, who are in just a place of disconnection. My God, that we found our heart just coming away from the cross, coming away from Christ. Lord, maybe it's just the worries and the concerns of life that have overwhelmed us, that have gotten us in a place where we are so overwhelmed that we are not even seeing Jesus clearly. Lord, help us to declutter. Help us, Father, to find space. Help us find space to follow after you. Help us to keep watch. Help us, Father, to be so aware of what's going on that we're not giving ourselves to laziness or to indolence, that we're not giving ourselves to remission, that God, we're not just letting things slide and slowly by slowly we are sliding away. Help us to keep watch. Help us to pray. Help us, Father, to stay with you, my God. Oh, in the midst of struggle, so many of us want to run away from God when we are struggling instead of going towards the one who could actually solve things for us. I pray, Father, that you help us to keep watch with you. Help us, my God, to keep in prayer. Finally, Father, help us to surrender to your will. Even as Jesus showed us that, God, the things that you want to do are dependent on our surrender. that surrendering might cost us, even our very lives. But Lord, help us to surrender. Help us to lay things down. Help us to lay things down. Help us to lay things down. Help us to let go and let God. Help us to give over those difficult, complicated things to you. Help us, God, to submit our will to you. That, God, we are not being hard-headed. Lord, that we are not being people that have to be guarded, even as Ms. McKenna was sharing with us a couple of weeks ago. We're not being people who have to be forced in the way of God. That we are quick to surrender. We are quick to let go. And Father, thank you that we are making it to the victory that you have already assured for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.